What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, back from my little absence, joined as always by my good friend, Mr. Tyler O. And today we are getting into a fun little special project we've been working on for you guys. We're going to be doing some rankings debates. It's almost time for everybody to draft their football teams. It's important to go through the rankings and check out, you know, where we have some of these guys ranked. So if you go on to ftnfantasy.com, you can find the combination of our boss Jeff Ratcliffe's rankings, our friend Jeremy Pope's, and also Tyler O's award-winning rankings. Tyler, how are you doing on this fine day?
Thrilled to be here, as always. Having the privilege to talk ball with my friends through FTN. It doesn't get any better. Football season is upon us. We are more than halfway through the preseason. We had college football coming. It'd be nice if the weather turned a little bit more fall. It wasn't so hot, but hey. Can't complain too much, man. Just happy to have you back, ready to get ripping through this little series we got.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, just before we get into our sort of, you know, ranking summit between the two of us, I thought it would be good for listeners to just kind of get a little bit of insight into how each of us approach our fantasy football draft rankings to kind of understand, like, hey, if you're going to go onto ftnfantasy.com and you're going to check out Tyler O's rankings, what kind of process goes into it? What sort of logic do you apply? Is there anything that you think people really need to know if they're going to use your rankings?
Certainly. So for me, my rankings are directly derived from my projections. So I have been doing projections for just about 6 years, I'd like to say, at this point in time. And everything starts at a team level. Before I do jump in, I always want to be very clear with folks that projections don't equal ranks, right? I don't finish my projections, the projections spit out players, and I just take those players, and those are my ranks. That's not how that works, but it's a core piece of it. It is kind of sets the foundation for my ranks on the season and on a weekly basis. So I look at everything from like a team level, starting at the very top. How fast-paced do I think the team is going to be, right? How many plays are they going to have per game? How many plays are they going to have on the year? Then I look just, is this a run-first team or is this a pass-first team? And kind of like split that up like by percentage, like, you know, a balanced approach, you know, like say 50% run, 50% pass. That would probably be a much higher, I wouldn't say that's balanced. Actually, that's a pretty run-heavy team. But essentially like breaking up the team, like what percentage of their plays are run and what percentage are their plays are pass. And then also the team touchdowns, trying to figure out how many touchdowns they're going to score as a team. Use some Vegas data there as well and essentially split up the touchdowns. So there's like a number of touchdowns I think the team will score. And then I split that up with percentage of those going to be rush or pass. And then from there, you know, I spend weeks on my team level, just that portion of it. Mm-hmm. And then I then break it down into the players. Quarterback's usually a little bit easier. And then, you know, you go to running backs and you determine what their rush market share is, what is their, you know, receiving market share, so on and so forth. You're always playing with, like, you know, if it's a receiver, how many yards are they going to get per reception? You got to look at a lot of historical data. You got to take into account, like, coaches, coaching changes, players. It's a constant battle of changing things back and forth. But at the end of the day, that all spits out a bunch of projections. I take those projections. And then I start to apply the film. I start to apply the gut. I start to apply the drum beats, the news. I start to apply the opinions from people that I respect. And that's essentially how I go about my ranks, right? Is there is a analytical approach that is the foundation of everything that I do, but that is not the end all be all. I then take in information from people I respect, take in information from things that my eyes can see, and adjust things from there.
Yeah, and you know, that excellent, excellent process you've outlined is a big part of the reason why you finished number one in the accuracy ranking last year. So, folks, if you really want to make sure you are getting the best rankings in the business from Tyler, from our friend Popes, and from our boss, Jeff Ratcliffe, FTNFantasy.com, I'm just going to plug it one more time. That's where you can find those rankings. Now, just talking a little bit about mine before we hop into our first position we're going to be talking about today, running backs. Here's a little bit how Herms does his rankings. Now, I did not finish nearly as high as you did in the accuracy competition, but that's because the way that I go about it with my rankings is you know, I'm doing all these research articles throughout the off season. I'm doing a bunch of different things. I'm doing this podcast. I'm researching things. But when I put all of my work together, I do a lot of similar things you do, you know, players going different places, coaching changes and all that stuff. But when I put my ranks out, it's this is what I think is going to happen. And I'm going to take swings. If my swings are wrong, then my rankings are going to suffer. It is what it is. But like, if you listen to this podcast and you read my articles that come out on the website and stuff, you probably have a pretty good understanding of why Herms feels this way about this player. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. You don't have to go with my rankings. But just so everybody knows, like, I'm putting out just like, this is what I believe is going to happen. I'm not hedging. I'm not doing the kind of gamification of the rankings that, you know, I think some people like to do in certain aspects. This is just like a balls to the wall. This is what Herms is going for. So it's a little bit more YOLO in nature, but I think it's a little bit, you know, pretty fun and helpful too. And it'll lead to a very good conversation for this episode and the next couple that we are going to do. We can start first, though, with something that doesn't technically... I know we haven't... I think between the two of us, we haven't exactly figured out what to do with this player, but it's timely. The Commanders and Bengals are actually playing right now as we're recording, and there's an interesting running back situation there. We saw a report come out about Brian Robinson Jr. possibly being chopped around to different teams, and... the seventh round rookie, I'm sure you've all heard his name by now, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. Love that nickname. Not really important to the situation, but just love that nickname. Where do you kind of just feel about him in general? We'll get into the actual rankings conversation in a little bit, but this was kind of the little news blurb that I felt we had to talk about first.
Yeah, Bill. So much easier to say. Bill was honestly not even really on my radar as a prospect, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. I knew the name, was a good runner, downhill runner, right? Didn't catch any balls. Didn't expect him to have good draft capital. And the fact that I just didn't really think there was going to be much of it, didn't really buy into the talent. And then there wasn't, because I think one thing that pops for me is like, even if I don't know a guy, if he's a good pass catcher, I usually will pay attention. Because that's like one of the easiest ways to have fantasy relevance if you're not going to be a great running back, because at least you can catch the ball well. And he didn't have that going for him. I think the dude caught probably under like 10 balls in his career or something crazy like that. So he just wasn't on my radar at all. Obviously, I've been paying attention to the drum beats. Brian Robinson, I think, is a fine back, but clearly not. I think he's replaceable. I think his talent is replaceable by a seventh round rookie. I'm not like, I don't know, man. I'm not buying the hype like some people are. Like, I have no, here's the thing. Say you're in an 18 round draft. You can take whoever you want in rounds 15 through 18, and I'm not gonna say anything. You can do whatever you want in the last four rounds. I don't think anyone is really at liberty to crack on someone too hard for making a choice in the last four rounds. These are like waiver wire players, but I think you can take him around like rounds 12 to 14. He has jumped up on, I believe I was checking the ADP over in Best Ball Land. He has jumped up to the 10th round, which is quite high. I'm not sure I am there yet. But at the same time, if you wanted to take him, you know, if you're in your home league, for example, and you're listening to this and you got a draft coming up, yeah, take him in the 11th or 12th round. It's going to look and feel a lot like a reach. But we've seen these situations. They rarely happen. They rarely happen, but we've seen them. Philip Lindsay comes to mind. James Robinson comes to mind. Help me with another one, Herms. I know there's got to be another decent one out there. Alfred Morse was pretty late too, wasn't he? At the same team.
Oh yeah, that was a really fun year. He was definitely a fun big surprise.
So I think there's just like it's not unprecedented, and the price. Isaiah Pacheco, I think, was also a seventh rounder. So it's more than plausible that he gets an opportunity here. I'm just not gonna, you know, rip the hype into the eighth, ninth, probably the 10th round. I'd be more than happy to continue to take him above ADP, but in the, you know, 11th, 12th, 13th round. If anything, these rumors actually got me a little bit more on Eckler, who I wasn't on at all, if I'm being honest, because Brian Robinson was at least catching some balls. I don't think Bill will catch like any balls. I think Eckler is something that's like kind of a sneaky winner here through all of this. Instead of looking at it as kind of like Brian Robinson out, Bill in, I think we need to at least talk about Austin Eckler and consider the fact that he might, if Brian Robinson moves, he does stand to gain a bit here. Then I don't think it's being talked about.
No, for sure. And, you know, something that our buddy Andrew Cooper, shout out Coop, you know, on last week's episode mentioned, we were talking about it recently. And Anthony Lynn, the run game coordinator for the Washington Commanders, he was the guy that was around as the Los Angeles Chargers head coach way back in the day when Eckler first kind of became a thing. You know, there's a lot of familiarity there. And, you know, as people know who listen to the pod, I live in the DC media market, so I do consume a lot of this stuff. And just based off of, you know, what I'm hearing, like, yeah, they do legitimately like Bill. He's interesting, but Eckler's role is kind of like pretty solidified. So it really is entirely based on what happens with Brian Robinson Jr. And that's why for right now I have Bill ranked at like RB49. I think he's fine. It's a fun bet. If I were to, you know, say, does he end the season with a role? I think that's very possible. But I think honestly, folks, if you draft him, it might take a while. You're going to have to dedicate to that bench spot or let some other manager do it. Let them get frustrated, drop Kroski Merritt from their roster, and then you go at him. I'm not entirely sure he necessarily has to be drafted, but I think that there's at least some very real intrigue there. Now, we went a little bit longer with that than I was hoping to, so we do have to take our quick break now. We are going to do our commercial break here, but then when we come back on the other side, we are going to get into our running back rankings discussions, a few players that we're a little further apart on with each other. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, hey, it's Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Football season is right around the corner, and there's no better way to lock in your fantasy dominance early than with Best Ball on DraftKings, where you draft once and ride your roster all season long. And right now, DraftKings is giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $15 million Best Ball contest for just $20, and you'll score another Best Ball ticket to play free for a share of $15 million, giving you a second shot to win big. It's easy. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. Across the whole season, every breakout star, every clutch play, every touchdown will count toward your quest for a share of $15 million. You want to start your draft with Ja'Marr Chase and come back around with Joe Burrow? Get yourself a nice little Bengals stack? You definitely can. You want to try to play the ADP a little bit and scoop some value on rookies? You could definitely build your roster that way. You could do anything you want in this $15 million best ball contest. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million and get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million headliner contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I am still Herms. He is still Tyler Rowe. And we are now going to begin our fun rankings conversation for the 2025 fantasy football season with running backs. A couple of guys that we are, you know, pretty similarly excited about, but, you know, our rankings are just a little farther apart. And I thought it would be fun to have discussions about why. We will start with Green Bay Packers running back Josh Jacobs. You have him ranked as your RB8, whereas I have him a little bit lower at RB13. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but the reason that I kind of highlighted this one is because Josh Jacobs does belong to a separate tier of running backs for me. He is at the bottom of what I am considering my second tier, you know, and that second tier starts with my guy Chase Brown that I have at number 8. So, at least in my mind, that was a big enough difference. I wanted to see, from your perspective, why are you very enthusiastic about Josh Jacobs, who was very good last year, everybody?
So for me, I just don't see things changing that much. I feel pretty good about his role staying consistent this year. Packers were one of the most run-heavy teams in the NFL last year, and I get the argument because we did see, what, Malik Willis for like two or three games. That's certainly going to skew things when you have a quarterback who can't throw the football very well but can run. But at the same time, I do feel like it's part of the Packers' identity. They want to run the ball. They want to run the ball well. They have a good, they have an underrated defense. Side note, good defense to be drafting, folks, if you got to get a defense special teams. Packers are a good one.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, I ran through my projections. It was pretty easy for me to kind of like almost give him like a very similar workload. I believe last season he was around 300 attempts. I was able to get him a little under that. He was at like at 290. Taking a look at things now, the touchdown should be there. Saw him at 15 touchdowns, which was pretty, I mean, I don't think he's going to do 15 again, right? He finishes RB5 last season, but I got him for 11 touchdowns this year. And he's involved in the pass game too. And I will say for a moment there, like I've been a Marshawn Lloyd believer for a bit here. I think he's a good talent. And when he was healthy for that little blip in camp, everything was pointing towards him being a really good contributor in terms of being probably more of a handcuff, but maybe taking a little away from Jacobs. And I'd be actually, if Marshawn Lloyd had been healthy this whole offseason and going into the season, I would actually be open to entertaining dropping Jacobs a bit, just knowing how close these running backs are. Because I don't really see, I don't see the threat of Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks or whoever else is on that team. So for me, it's just basically like plug and play. Like look what he did last year, RB5, 15 touchdowns got him to RB5. Not, you know, I think there's going to be regressions in the touchdown department, but even dropping him to 11, I feel pretty confident. I feel pretty safe kind of keeping him in this range at RB8. And it really just comes down to there's just like some question marks with the guys behind him a little bit. Like I got Chase Brown right underneath him. And like you could argue Chase Brown and I would listen. But the rest of the guys underneath him, I just can't. Jonathan Taylor, Bucky Irvin, Kyron Williams, James Cook, Omarion Hampton, like Breece Hall. Like these are guys that in my opinion, I would love to hear the bull case here as to why. So I guess I'll turn it over to you. For me, it seems safe. It feels consistent. I don't really see any reason why he can't do what he did again last year, at least from a volume perspective. And I believe the Packers should be a good offense, have a good defense, continue to run the ball Packer style. So I'll turn it over to you, man, but it feels like one of the safer picks at running back for me. And I just personally feel like there's some question marks with the people that you might have above him.
Yeah, for sure. And like quite literally everybody that you named is in that tier for the most part. So, I mean, we are definitely very aligned in terms of like where we're kind of valuing these guys broadly. So there is something to that for sure. But like my big thing about Josh Jacobs is honestly just the touchdown regression bet. Like I just finding the end zone as often as he did is just a very difficult thing to do. So I always kind of bet against that. But then also I'm not going to revisit the entire argument because I've made it in different episodes throughout this offseason. But like, I just like what drafting Matthew Golden does for the offense. I think that Jordan Love is going to be able to open up a more diverse passing attack that's not going to be as very low ADOT this year. So I think that if that all works out for them, they're going to be able to probably score through the air a little bit more often. So like that's kind of what I'm betting on. I'm just betting a little bit more on the passing attack taking a step forward. And by virtue of that, Josh Jacobs just losing maybe like a few touchdowns to him, whatever. But I do still think he's going to be very good. It's just optimism that Jordan Love might be able to kind of bounce back a little bit. I don't know. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. And I also have Jordan Love ranked accordingly for how I feel. Like this is a team level disagreement. Let's be fair. I think what Herms and I are getting in here is this isn't against Josh Jacobs. We think he's going to be a great running back. But like I have Jordan Love down to QB18 because I think it's going to be a more run heavy approach. So I think it's just the level of like Herms thinks the Packers are going to be better through the air. I think they're going to continue to run through the ground. And I think that, and we're probably talking what, maybe like 3 or 4 percentage points at a team level.
Yeah.
That's just funny how this stuff works out. So pretty fair. I totally agree. It's a team level disagreement more than a player disagreement. I'm really interested to see what you got to say about this next one, Herms.
Yeah, man, this is a player that I've been getting pretty excited about. When I initially did my first run of rankings, I had Kenneth Walker probably somewhere in like the high, you know, teens for sure, probably in my tier 3. But then I was looking at what we can expect out of this Clint Kubiak offense. And then we saw the Seattle Seahawks in the preseason here. Now, mind you, it's been with the backup running backs and stuff. We haven't seen Ken Walker do it. They're kind of, you know, bringing him along a little bit slowly, you know, in camp stuff, trying to preserve his health a little bit. But like, dude, the vibes are just absolutely there. It looks like it's going to be super chill. And the Clint Kubiak thing, his influence with this offense, just looking back at like where he's kind of started his coaching career wise and like the sort of influences he's probably picked up along the way, like his dad, he was an offensive assistant under his dad, Gary, who, as we know, you know, the Texans head coach way back in the day. But also he was the OC under Papa Shanahan with those 90s Denver Broncos teams. Clint was also around working with Bill Musgrave for a while there as an assistant in Minnesota. Now, that was the guy who was the OC under Leslie Frazier when Adrian Peterson was putting up all those crazy years and stuff. And even Clint Kubiak had a little cup of coffee as the passing game coordinator with the kid Shanahan, Kyle, out there in San Francisco. So just, you know, I'm kind of taking what we've seen from, you know, the teams he's been with in the past, what they kind of do with those run games, and also just literally what we've seen from the Seattle Seahawks this preseason. It's like, okay, if that's going to be Ken Walker and he's going to be healthy, I think he is going to be a super good fantasy pick. And that's why I have him ninth in my rankings. You know, if he's like, health has always been the thing, but in PPR points per game, he's always super good when he's out there. I just think this is a really good schematic fit, and it's going to be great, and the volume's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I've gone on record and I've wrote about it multiple times how I love Ken Walker, and I will continue to draft Ken Walker, and I think he is one of my favorite bets that is being drafted outside the top 12 to finish inside the top 12. So it's funny how we're almost debating something, but I also like just agree with everything that you just said. That's how funny ranks can be. You know, taking a look at my rankings, like I immediately moved him over Breece Hall with some of the split concerns, but like Marion Hampton, James Cook, Kyron Williams, like I get it. It's like a big tier, and I've been drafting a decent amount of Kenneth Walker, man. It's really just a conversation of like, I agree with everything that you've just said. I like Kenneth Walker. I might like the running backs more, but it's the same tier. So it's funny because I really can't push back on anything that you said because I believe in Kenneth Walker. I think he can do it. I think he, frankly, I prefer to have him as my RB2, but if he was my RB1, I would be okay with it. It just, he finds himself in a tier where there's a couple guys I like a little bit more. So not going to have some hot debate here, even though there's a big gap, because I frankly agree with everything that you said. I mean, I think I might find a way to bump him up a couple ranks after this just because. Hey, why not plant that flag if it's something I've been touting all year? Like, I'm a little ahead of ADP, but let's bridge the gap here. I don't know if I'm going as high as 9, but I'd be happy to bridge the gap. I might have to revisit the ranks in KW3.
There you go. See, all right. This is the spirit of the conversation. That's why I was very excited to get into this little pod series we're going to be doing. Now, let's see if I can convince you on our third and final player. Let's see if maybe I can sell you a little bit more on possibly moving up Browns rookie running back Quinshon Judkins, who I understand, I believe you have still conservatively priced at RB33. I understand some of the reasons why. Now there's the off-field stuff. I believe the charges were dropped or whatever. We're not going to get into that. That's not what this podcast is about. Anything that happens with that, that's beyond our knowledge right now. And we're not legal scholars. We are football people. So just talking about the football part of it, assuming that he's not going to face any sort of consequence, I have him all the way up at my RB24. And a lot of that just has to do with the fact that the Kevin Stefanski offense is what it is. They want to pound the rock. That's what they've done anytime he's ever been in charge of an offense. Now, I'm including his entire Cleveland Browns head coaching tenure and his lone season in 2019 as the Vikings offensive coordinator when I'm talking about this here. They have a Kevin Stefanski offense has ranked top 10 in rushing attempts annually. From that point all the way through 2023, top 10 in rushing yards all but once when they finished 12th in 2023. But like last year was just the weird exception. I understand a lot of that rushing attack kind of went away. Nick Chubb only played in 8 games. You know, guard Wyatt Teller missed a few games, only played in 13. And they had to do a lot of YOLO ball with Jameis Winston. So there was definitely a bit of a, you know, script flipping with that offense last year that was a little bit bizarre. I do understand the quarterback situation in Cleveland is still dicey. Now, I believe that is probably the reason why a lot of people are going to fade, you know, just the team in general as a result of that. But I still believe in Quinshaw Judkins just being able to thrive in this type of environment. I think that the volume is probably going to be there. I'm not really that afraid of him splitting too many, you know, carries that's going to take away from that. And I don't know. I think what we've seen from this offense in the past tells us that it's going to make sense. And I'm always going to be interested in the Cleveland Browns running back because that's what Kevin Stefanski wants to do.
I guess my question for you, Herms, would be what do you, Chargers were dropped. Is that, or like he's not, let's just say this, he's not in trouble anymore with the law, I think. I don't want to talk out of turn again. We're not law experts, but it seems like he's somewhat in the clear. However, he's still not signed by the Browns, I believe. And it sounds like the Browns could, this is Mike and Fears. The Browns might not even sign him until this all gets sorted out with the NFL. So like, I guess for me, my concern is more less around, hey, the talent, like I think the case you laid out is great, but it's like, I think there's a non-zero chance we don't see him in week one. I truly believe that. Like, I at this point in time, he probably does play, probably does suit up. But, like, what is all this missed time as a rookie? Like, that affects a player, especially as a rookie. They need those reps on the offense. And, like, he hasn't been getting them, like, to an extent as some of the other rookies out there. So, like, I have some concerns. I have less concerns of, like, a long play, like in Dynasty. But at the same time, just in redraft, I'm like, how fast is he going to get acclimated? Are we definitely going to be seeing him in week one? How? I mean, I believe like the Cleveland Browns, Vegas has him as the worst offense in the entire NFL in terms of their expected points. I think Dylan Sampson is a little underrated. I could afford to move him up a bit. Now, I will say that, Herms, is I will say like there's just been a lot of moving pieces with this Quinshon Judkins story. That like it's tough for me to sit here and say like, oh, I'm you know, I feel so strongly that he is my you know, running back, what did I have him? 33. I can move him to like 28 pretty comfortably. I certainly will probably try to stay around ADP. Not a guy that I'm going to really overextend for, but if he falls, I'll definitely take him. I have actually done that a decent amount. You know, my best ball portfolio, I think I have like 13% Judkins, which is well above market just because he would fell so much. So for me, I have so many questions outside of the team level and the talent level, just like, what is this going to look like? Maybe it's a much slower start to the season because he hasn't been able to be with the team in practice. So there's just a lot of like unknowns and questions going on here that has me rank him here. But I could afford to move him up from 33 for a lot of the reasons that you laid out. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily as confident, or I guess my rank would suggest I'm not as confident that he's going to be out there getting 20, 25 touches a game.
Now that makes sense for sure. And, you know, you kind of brought something up that I just didn't nearly enough consider, the fact that he just hasn't been around and practicing and stuff. Because, you know, like we were saying, I looked it up very quickly. Prosecutors declined to pursue the case and it was announced that he would not face any formal charges. But like you said, not being there, it takes a while for you to catch up. Takes a while for you to get back into the groove of things if you aren't around, and that is definitely a legitimate concern. And that is also kind of the concern that I was worried about coming back to the show this week after my little absence, but hopefully I got up to speed with everybody as well as I possibly could in this episode of the Crossing Routes podcast. Be sure to go over to ftnfantasy.com, check out Tyler O's rankings, get yourself prepared, and we are so thrilled to continue this conversation with another position in our next episode. See you later, everybody. Staying up and sleeping late.